If we were to ask the Apostle Peter, what does a Christian man look like? Well, he wouldn't begin by describing a man with money or success, status, or popularity. Instead, he would point us to a man who has been changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. A man who knows that he is a sinner and he is living off the mercy of God. He knows that Jesus has died for his sins and rose to give him new life and a living hope. And because of that, he turns away from his sins. He grows in godliness by God's grace. And he lives in a way that pleases Christ. He's not a man that is perfect by any means. But now he belongs to Christ. He loves people sincerely. He lives differently from the world around him. And he follows God's word, even when life is difficult. Peter makes it clear that a man of this kind of a faith is not only a man that must be seen in public, but also be seen at home, especially in marriage. Last week, we saw that Christian wives are called to honor God through respectful, faithful submission and godly character. But what about husbands? What does the Christ-like manhood look like in marriage? Well, Peter answers that question for us with a command that cuts deeper than simply being a decent man or a good provider. God calls husbands to live with their wives in a distinctly Christ-like way. So what does that look like? In an understanding and an honoring way with their wives. Have a look at verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 3. Just part A of that verse. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives with an understanding way, showing honor. Now, to help us to think through this verse, let us look at a man who is struggling in his marriage, and he needs to learn what it means to be the kind of husband that God wants him to be. So, 8 days after Christmas, Matilda told her husband Jack, "I am leaving you. I'm thinking of divorce. I waited until after Christmas because I didn't want to spoil your holidays." Her words hit him like a bolt out of the blue. Until that moment, he thought that their marriage was very good. When he later spoke to his pastor, he said, "Pastor, I don't know what has happened. I don't know why she is so unhappy. I love her deeply. We hardly ever argue. I've never hit her. I don't yell at her. I certainly don't constantly criticize her. I've tried to be easygoing. I work hard and I provide for the family. I come home straight after work. I don't go out drinking or running around like other men. Most nights I'm just at home, watching television or working in the shed. We're both Christians, you know, involved in church, with 3 lovely kids. I don't understand why she is so unhappy." Now, Jack and Matilda's marriage is in trouble. She is so unhappy that she's thinking of leaving. Yet, Jack is completely confused. He is out of touch with what is happening in the heart of his wife and in their relationship. Could it be that many husbands, even here, are like Jack? Some think that their marriage is good. And what makes a good marriage is just simply warm feelings, romance, attraction. And if there is peace, the assumption is all is well. Others think, well, simply by working hard, providing, staying faithful, and not being harsh constitutes a happy and a fulfilled marriage. But is that all that God wants husbands to be? So how should a husband live with his wife? Consider first, husbands are to live with their wives with understanding. This can also be translated. Live with them together with knowledge. Knowledge. Men sometimes say, I just can't understand my wife. Society even jokes about this, saying that it is impossible to understand a woman. I read about a medical doctor whose marriage was falling apart. During counseling, he was challenged to study and better understand his wife. After years of academic training, he said, if I have to study my wife, it's not worth it. His career was worth the effort, but apparently not his marriage. Sadly, many husbands think like that. They assume that women are impossible to understand, when in reality, they are the ones that are unwilling to invest the time and the effort. Others become so absorbed in their work and their hobbies, their sport, and their personal interests, rather than in the wife that God had given them. Often the issue is not confusion, but it's the heart. Laziness, selfishness, pride, or complacency. If you're a husband, God calls you to know your wife well. You should seek to understand her gifts and her abilities, her likes and dislikes, her fears, her concerns, her strengths and weaknesses, her spiritual needs. Know what brings her joy, what encourages her, what burdens her. How does she want you to love and support her? A godly husband learns his wife's struggles, personality, emotional world. Why? To love and to serve her. At its heart, Peter calls husbands to become learners, not guessers, students, not spectators in marriage. It should be noted that this phrase, with understanding, goes even deeper than merely knowing one's wife's personality and understanding her well. Men, God wants us to understand His design for marriage and to understand what He expects us to be and to do as husbands as well. In particular, God calls husbands to love their wives as Christ loves the church. So, the love of Christ for the church is the model, the example for husbands to follow. What does that kind of love look like? 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. You were ransomed not with perishable things such as gold and silver, but by the precious blood of Christ. Christ's love is gracious. Philippians 2, verses 4 to 7. Christ emptied himself, looking out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. He became obedient to the point of death and death on the cross. Christ's love was unselfish. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Christ also suffered once for sins, that he might bring us to God. Ephesians 5, 26. Christ gave himself for the church to cleanse and to sanctify the church. Christ's love is for our benefit. Ephesians 5:25, the one I've already quoted. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for the church. Christ's love is sacrificial. John 13, verse 1. Having loved his own, he loved them to the end. Christ's love is faithful to the end. Ephesians 1 verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Christ's love is a forgiving love. And Romans 5 verse 8. God shows his love in this, that whilst we were sinners, Christ died for us. Christ's love is demonstrated and open love seen at the cross. A Christ-like husband doesn't simply live in the same house as his wife. He intentionally learns and loves her openly, forgivingly, faithfully, freely, sacrificially, unselfishly, and graciously, as long as our wedding day vows are promised, till death do us part. But there's more. Peter is not done. He goes on to say that husbands not only need to live with their wives with understanding, but also show honor to their wives. He says in verse 7, show honor to the woman as to the weaker vessel. By weaker vessel, Peter is not suggesting that women are spiritually, morally, emotionally, intellectually weaker than men. Rather, he's speaking in general terms physically, physical weakness in comparison to men. And it's in this context of marriage where wives are called to submission to their husbands. We see that in verse 1, that a husband must not misuse his strength, his position, his leadership in a harsh, selfish, or an overbearing way against his wife. Instead, he is called to use his strength to lovingly honor and care for his wife. According to Ephesians chapter 5 verse 23, a husband is to lead his wife as Christ leads the church. How does Christ lead the church? He leads it for the good of his people. His leadership is servant-like and others orientated. a Christ-like husband therefore uses his position not to serve himself, but to bless, protect, encourage, and strengthen his wife. And Peter reminds husbands why their wives need to be honored. Did you notice that in the text? Because they are heirs together with you of the grace of life. Husband and wife stand equally before God. Equally saved, equally loved by Christ, equally heirs of eternal life. Together, if they are Christians, they are fellow pilgrims, journeying towards the same heavenly inheritance. What a remarkable privilege a Christian husband has to have a wife alongside, sharing the same Savior, worshipping the same Lord, and sharing in the same eternal destiny. But this honor is to be shown visibly in everyday life. Husband is to honor his wife by what is difficult for husbands to do: listening to her, encouraging her, thanking her, speaking kindly to her, and making it clear that she is precious to him. He does not take her for granted. A man may provide financially and still fail to honor his wife emotionally, spiritually, and relationally. Think again of Jack. He wasn't cruel or abusive. He worked hard to provide for his family. Yet his great failure was that he did not truly honor and cherish his wife. Over time, she felt unseen, unappreciated, and emotionally alone. Indifference in a marriage can cause almost the same harm as harshness. That's why Paul says to husbands in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, nourish and cherish her as your own body. Biblical leadership is therefore not domineering, neither is it passive neglect, but it is servant leadership, humble, sacrificial, Christ-like, that helps a wife flourish for the glory of God. Peter's point is clear, isn't it? A godly husband doesn't merely avoid hurting his wife. He actively honors her. He uses his strength to serve, not to control, to build up, not to neglect, to cherish, not to ignore. Christ-like leadership is not about demanding honor for self, but to show honor to the woman that God has entrusted to us. Sadly, which husband can honestly say, I have never fallen short of God's calling for me? Well, I don't think any. But why do husbands fail? Well, let me suggest four reasons. The first is, some men confess Christ outwardly, but yet they remain unchanged inwardly. The story of Frank Abagnale illustrates this well. Have you heard of that name? We see him in the movie Catch Me If You Can. Abagnale impersonated an airline pilot, a doctor, a lawyer. He wanted the benefits and the appearance of those professionals without doing the hard work by actually becoming one of them. He simply put on the uniform and pretended. Sadly, some men do the same spiritually. They know the Christian language and appear religious, yet they have never truly repented, submitted to Christ, and been born again. A man who does not have the Holy Spirit of God cannot follow the Lord Jesus Christ and is not able to love his wife as Christ commands. Biblical husbanding flows from a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Until a man is right with Christ, he cannot be right with his wife. But where faith is genuine, there is real hope and power for change. Secondly, many husbands fail in marriage because they have forgotten that Jesus is Lord. The word Lord means master. And passages like 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 7, husbands, live with your wives with understanding, showing honor to them. And Ephesians 5 verse 25, husbands, love your wives, are not suggestions. They are actually commands. A godly marriage is not merely a matter between a husband and a wife. It is a matter between a husband and a wife and Christ. Imagine an employee who constantly ignores his boss's instructions. He arrives late, disregards instructions, apologizes politely, and then he keeps on doing whatever he wants. And though he speaks respectfully, he acts as if he is the boss. And then he is surprised when he gets fired. Many husbands treat Jesus the same way. They hear Christ's commands about loving, knowing, honoring their wives, and not in agreement, yet continue to do their own thing. But Christians are not self-employed. We are in Christ's service, aren't we? A faithful husband is one who submits his marriage, priorities, and leadership to the Lordship of Christ. Third reason why many husbands fail is because they have adopted the world's definition of love instead of Christ-like love. The world says, I will love you if you meet my expectations. Christ-like love says, I will love you even if it costs me. Some husbands approach marriage like a merit system, like the way a certain man who treated waiters when he would go to a restaurant. He would put a couple of dollars on the table and look at the waitress and say, that's your potential tip. Any mistakes, and I'm going to take some money away. Sadly, some husbands treat their wives in the same way, withdrawing love and honor when their wives fail. But Christ doesn't love us according to our performance. His love is patient and forgiving and steadfast. True love will seek the spiritual and the physical good of our wives. The fourth and last reason is ungodly responses. Many husbands fail, not because their marriage has problems, but because they respond to those problems sinfully. Every marriage is between two sinners living together in a fallen world. Conflict and disappointment and hurt is really inevitable, isn't it? The difference between a godly marriage and an ungodly one is often found in how those struggles are handled. Paul warns us, husbands, in Colossians 3 verse 19, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh or embittered with them. Yet many husbands allow frustration and resentment to quietly grow. Bitterness slowly poisons the heart. Harshness replaces gentleness. Patience disappears. Leadership becomes cold, demanding, or withdrawn. Think of a house filled with dirty nappies. Every offense or disappointment is like a dirty nappy. So instead of dealing with it through forgiveness, loving correction, and grace, many husbands just simply leave it lying around. And after a few years, there are hundreds of nappies all over the house. And then the husband and the wife wonders, why does home life stink so much? In the same way, unresolved bitterness poisons the atmosphere of a marriage. A godly husband learns to deal with them quickly, graciously, and biblically. He lives near the cross, remembering how much Christ has forgiven him. A man who knows the grace of God will be far more ready to forgive, show patience, and refuse to become bitter. But let us close with some practical applications. Many men are more like Jack than they realize. Their marriages struggle not because they intend harm, but because they have never really learned from God what it means to be a godly husband. Also, men, let us not make the mistake that when we hear a sermon like this, we only listen to the first sentence, and then we figure out we know the rest, and we can take it from there. Don't treat leading and loving your husband, or your wife rather, as a do-it-yourself project. Take it from God's word and let Him lead you. So remember, a godly husband is not merely a provider. He is a learner, a lover, a leader. Living in the same house is not the same as truly loving your wife. Don't merely ask, where am I failing? But ask, am I Christ-like to her? A wife can be provided for materially and yet feel alone relationally. Christ-like husbands do not lead by selfishness, harshness, or neglect, but by sacrificial love. Your wife should never wonder whether she is valued, treasured, and honored by you. Strong marriages are built when husbands give themselves to what God calls them to do and to be. a godly husband, uses his strength to serve, protect, encourage, and build up. The call of 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 7 is not to simply avoid hurting our wives, but to actively honor and cherish them. The greatest need in marriage is not the perfect husband, but a humble husband who follows Christ. Lovers, leaders, and learners. That's what God calls husbands to be. The question is, how are we going to respond to that? Well, are we going to respond in pride? Assuming we know it all already and we have nothing to learn. Or with indifference. Knowing God's will but yet still choosing to do our own thing. Or with discouragement. Thinking we have failed too badly to change. Rather, let us allow the gospel to cause us to be humble and to put our faith in what God can do through us in our marriages. Because God's command is never devoid of His grace. What God commands, He always provides for in the Holy Spirit. Husbands can grow to become loving, more servant-like, more understanding husbands. Christian marriages are not about perfection. It's about repentance and faith and growth and daily surrender to Christ for the glory of God and for the good of our wives. Is that not a worthwhile pursuit, husbands? Peter ends in verse 7 with sobering words. Did you notice those words? Saying that your prayers will not be hindered. That word means not blocked or cut off. Husbands, if we live sinfully towards our wives, we should not expect close fellowship with God. God does not bless those who practice evil. Yes, a man may attend church, pray publicly, know the scriptures, and look spiritual to others. But God sees how we are treating our wives at home. And He takes that seriously. Your relationship with God is closely connected to how you treat your wife. The person that God has entrusted into your care. Men, let this humble us. If we have failed our wives, let's not make excuses and become defensive. Let us bring our sins honestly to Christ. He gladly forgives repentant sinners, and He changes hard hearts. As we walk in Christ's likeness towards our wives, then we will start to experience renewed joy and closeness with God and our wives. A husband cannot live out 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 through personality, effort, or good intentions alone. Not possible. This kind of marriage flows from the kind of a man that Peter has been describing all along. A man who has been saved by the grace of God, who loves Christ, who fights his sin, and who lives under the authority of God. So being a godly husband is not about better techniques, trying harder. It's about walking closer to Jesus Christ. Such a man will grow to love more patiently, lead more humbly, forgive more quickly, and serve more sacrificially. And in the end, the strength of a marriage is not found in natural ability, but in the nearness of a husband to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the closer he walks with Christ, the more his wife will see Christ reflected in him. May the Lord help us. Let us pray for our husbands, for future husbands. Let us pray for our wives. Let us pray for our church, that the Lord's word will come to pass as spoken today.